The timer woke her from the kind of vaguely unpleasant dream that isn't a nightmare, but leaves a dull, foreboding feeling behind the eyes. Another shower cleared most of it from her head. Now she was really hungry. She checked the time. If he really had left home right away, if he had gone straight to the family's shuttle, and if they'd gotten priority clearance, Ronnie might be arriving within the hour. She would head for the shuttle deck and get something to eat there. The timer informed her it was partway into second shift. After Main, some called it. Both names were on the timer's dial. That meant the station equivalent of nightlife, including the nightcrawlers. Brunn dug through her duffel for possible outfits that wouldn't be too visible and wouldn't say the wrong things. She didn't want to be transient crew anymore, and she certainly didn't want to stick out as Lord Thornbuckle's daughter out being adventurous. She just hadn't brought the right clothes. But she had brought enough makeup. Down the way, she found a clothing store for people with no imagination. Clerks' clothes, maybe. Good old boring classic beiges and browns and grays and dull blues. It was a struggle to make herself buy what she automatically disdained. The blue slacks, the beige top, the brown belt, and sensible brown shoes. In the mirror, she looked like a low-income copy of her mother. If you were born with those bones, plain looked classic. What could look just plain, plain? A different blouse, blue and rose flowers scattered loosely on beige, and a bit too tight. Beige shoes with little gold doodads on them. That helped. They made her feet hurt, so she walked differently. She could do the rest with makeup. When she reached the shuttle deck, the status boards showed three private shuttles on approach, identified only by registration number. Great. She had never known the registration number of Ronnie's family's shuttle. Then one of the other numbers sank in. That was her family's shuttle, the same one she'd taken Cecilia up in.
Oh, was Ronnie crazy enough to borrow that one? They'll be looking for it.
Brunn ducked quickly into one of the fast food outlets that opened onto the concourse. She ordered the first thing she saw and took it to a window seat. Between bites of something greasy and meaty coated with something doughy, she scanned the area for the man who had spoken to her before. Of course, he wouldn't have been alone, and she had no idea what other watchers might look like. The food helped. She felt her courage returning. She was clean and fed, and didn't look anything like her earlier self. Either of them.
Sorry we're having to wait. There are quite a few arrivals just now.
Private shuttles?
Yes, Lord Thornbuckles is just ahead of us.
George and Ronnie stared at each other.
Why did she call me if she was going to call the family shuttle? Or did I misunderstand? We were trying to talk in a sort of instant code.
I suppose it could be another family member, though that's quite a coincidence. And they usually bring the family yacht in over at Minor to avoid the traffic.
The yacht's not operational, don't you remember? Some kind of harebrained terrorist attack or something.
So it could be one of the others, come by commercial passenger service.
George peered out the tiny window. Ronnie, looking past his head, could make nothing of the strings of lights. Finally, not that long by the clock on the forward bulkhead, he felt a slight bump of docking. When the status lights turned green, he led George out the access tube to the reception lounge. Across from the access tube was the door into the public corridor that led to the concourse. A status screen above it showed that Lord Thornbuckle's shuttle was docked to their right. Ronnie headed that way, receiving a polite nod from the man at the door to that lounge. He didn't see Brunn anywhere. Brunn saw Ronnie and her brother at the same moment. Buttons, looking happy and relaxed, with his fiancée Sarah on his arm, strolled along the concourse from the commercial gates toward the entrance to the private shuttle bays. Ronnie was just coming out, looking around. Brunn had just had time to notice Sarah's outfit, flowing rose silk, a corsage of fresh white roses, when Sarah staggered and the corsage blew apart, leaving a single red rose. Buttons threw himself on top of her. The tough-looking man who had spoken to Brunn rushed at them, weapon in hand. People in the concourse panicked. Some dove for the floor. Brunn pushed away from the table and tried to get to her brother, but the people in the doorway were backing away. She pushed and shoved, using elbows and sharp kicks to move them. Over their heads, she could see Ronnie turn toward the trouble and then make a flying tackle on the armed man. George erupted from the corridor behind him. The two of them were on the attacker by the time Brune got free of the tangle and staggered across the concourse. She hoped someone had had sense to call the station militia and medical help.
Help me! She's bleeding!
Brune fell on her knees beside him and unzipped her duffel, pulling out her last clean shirt and stuffing it in the wound.
Here.
The months she'd spent with therapists and doctors gave her more knowledge than she wanted of what lay behind the blood. But Sarah had a pulse and was breathing. Buttons looked at her and his eyes widened.
What are you doing here?
I'm saving Sarah.
Sarah opened her eyes.
It really hurts.
And then she closed them again. Typical of Sarah. No wasted words, no unnecessary fuss.
It's my fault. He thought I was Sarah. I mean the other way around.
Who?
But he had already turned toward the continuing tussle between Ronnie and George and the attacker, who had acquired allies from points unknown. Just as it looked like spreading into a wholesale brawl, the militia arrived.
Freeze! Police department!
The same tired-eyed man Brune had met before took their statements after Sarah had been taken to the station clinic. His gaze sharpened when he recognized Brune and the blood on her clothes.
Did you expect to meet your sister here? Was that your purpose?
No. Sarah and I had legal business to transact before our wedding. Brune's been out of touch quite a while. I frankly didn't know where she was.
Ronnie and George were attempting to look innocent and noble through their bruises.
Ah, and you, gentlemen, you were coming up to meet this young gentleman, perhaps?
Ronnie's eyes slid toward Brune's. She nodded.
No. Actually, we had come up to meet Brune. She called me.
I see. You are also...
We aren't engaged, but we've been friends a long time. I didn't want to call our people until I had a chance to clean up and change.
Yes, I can see why. Mother would have had a fit. Where have you been, anyway?
Brune held up her calloused hand for him to see.
Working as transient crew. I was hoping to get my hair done and so on before she knew I was anywhere around. Besides, there was a little trouble when I arrived.
Do you have any idea why someone shot your fiancé?
No.
I do. I think he meant to shoot me and didn't have a good description.
The man's eyebrows went up.
A man stopped me after I left the militia station earlier and asked if I'd seen a rich young woman in there. He knew my name and a rough description, but the way I was dressed then, he didn't recognize me. It scared me. It's the one reason I called Ronnie.
Well then, miss, do you know why someone might want to shoot you?
No, but it's clear someone did. And since Sarah and I are both blonde and about the same height, he probably figured someone heading for our shuttle with my brother was the right person.
I see. If you'll thumb sign this report, then...
With a sideways glance at Buttons, Brune pressed her thumb to the pad, and the man nodded.
That's it for now. I presume you'll be available downside if we need you?
Yes, of course.
I'm staying up here until Sarah's released. I don't know how long it will take. If they'll do the regen here, or ship her down. Brune, since Ronnie's here with their shuttle, could you ride with him?
Of course. Do you mind if we come with you to the clinic?
No, that's fine.
He stood and looked about uncertainly. The militia had dispersed the crowd, and the four of them stood alone. Then he looked down at Brune.
The thing is, I'm still worried about you. Did you know Lady Cecilia had filed for reinstatement of competency?
What? I thought she'd wait until...
No, she didn't wait. It was on the net 4 days ago. There's been an uproar you wouldn't believe in the press and among the families. Dad's afraid she's in danger. And you, of course. We didn't put a query on your ID because we didn't want to call attention to it. So we haven't known where you were.
But somebody did. Or at least they were watching for any word of me.
Yes. Dad's convinced now that you were right. He's had his doubts. But that means that whoever did it will be moving. You and Ronnie are both prime targets. Frankly, I think you'd better get in that shuttle and go. And then stay on the estate. Don't go into town. We don't know just how hard whoever it is will come after you.
But you and Sarah?
Should she tell him about Lorenza now? Or would it make it more dangerous for him? She was too tired to think.
We should be safe now that they know she's not you.
Buttons, there's something we need to tell you. It's really important. George and I think we know...
Not here. Take Brune, get down to our place, and stay there. I'll be along as soon as Sarah can travel. They'll probably send her down for regen treatment when she's stabilized. Dad's on his way, too.
Buttons turned away with a little wave. Brunn suddenly felt the weight of fear and exhaustion settle back on her shoulders. Her feet hurt.
He's right. Let's go home.